David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Advisor. I'm Lisa Urbanski, co-host of the show, and I am here today with an amazing guest. I'm so excited to introduce her to you guys. Her name is Yara Banks. So Yara Banks, she is the CEO and founder of BNX Business Advisors. And this is her second time being on the show. And the last episode, we talked about her book release. Her book is called The Executive Blind Spot. And I am so intrigued. So everybody, go back and listen to the last episode so you can hear all about her book. And today we're going to talk about the big executive orders of 2025. So welcome to the show, Yara. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me back. I appreciate the opportunity.
Amazing, amazing. So let's get into it.
So as we know, so first of all, BNX Business Advisors is, we are advisors and consultants for business and human resources. So as everyone knows, we are in a major tailspin right now, sitting on the edge of our seats, trying to understand how these new executive orders affect the workplace as a whole. And we've been given kind of directives saying what you cannot do, but not really guidelines on what we can do. And so I'm one of those nerds who sits in on every webinar, every legal analyst, all that to kind of get the understanding of what we know today and how it applies, how we go forward until we get some more guidance, right? So because I'm in HR, a lot of times people reach out and they want to know, how does this affect us? What do we need to do? First of all, take a deep breath. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Let's talk about what they actually mean and how they actually affect us. So we're three major changes around the executive orders of 2025 when it comes to the workplace. So we'll just kind of go one, two, and three. So the first one is probably the easiest one. It's the rescission of Executive Order 11246. Now, this executive order has been in place for, I think, 60 years, it's been for a very long time, okay? And what this one said is that we have to affirmatively further our effort to make the workplace more diverse. So what does that mean, Mara? What does that look like? Well, what that looked like is, let's say you were hiring for a position, and this only applied to federal contractors. So this directive came out of the Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs, or OFCCP. Okay, so it's only applied if you're receiving federal funds, you were a federal contractor. And what it meant was that you were to do actions to increase the diversity of your workforce. So you might have be hiring for a salesperson, and everybody who applied for this position or everyone who you wanted to interview were all white males. And every time you do a pool, you only get all white males. Well, the action you could take is find a different place to advertise.
Right.
Makes sense. You're always fishing the same, you're going to get the same fish. So diversify how you recruit. That would be your action. That's what you would put in your report, the affirmative action report. What it also did was compare the amount of people in your geographical location, metropolitan statistical area, the information was according to census data, okay? How many people in your area are qualified to do the job you're hiring for? And of those people, how many were Black, how many were women, how many were Hispanic, how many, you know, all of those different characteristics, right? And then you say, okay, so inside of my workforce, I have 75% white males, okay? And I have 25% white female. Just throwing this out to the easy example, right? And you're to say, well, our outside doesn't match our inside. Our inside doesn't match our outside. Either way, it doesn't match, right? Because if I look at the data, I know that there are people who are not white male or who are not white female who are qualified to do this job. How can we find them? That was the action you were taking. Now, this this executive order is what caused all the drama with this affirmative action quota stuff.
Okay.
It did not ever tell anyone to have a quota. It said set goals. If right now you're at 75% and you want to make it more diverse, by how much more diverse do you want it to be?
Right.
Now make actions to make that happen. Go recruit, go make partnerships with local colleges, go, all of those kind of things. Go to job fairs, whatever it took, do something else to get a different pool of people. That's all it
Okay.
ever said.
Right.
People have taken it to the extreme and they may have misinterpreted it and made quotas within their organization. But guess what? Anybody who runs a business and goes and plucks Joe Schmo off the street and puts him as a CEO of a company with no qualifications, sorry, there's no law that told you to do that. That was a horrific judgment that told you to do that,
I just got chills. Yeah, that's not a good
right.
move.
So there were like all these unqualified people because of the quotas, right? So that's where the whole premise of affirmative action went. And it was affirmatively action, do a action to meet your goals. That's all it ever meant. Okay. So with that being said, that got passed right around the time of the Civil Rights Act. Okay. So they did an action for the people as a whole, which was the Civil Rights Act, Title VII, Equal Opportunity Act. And then they
Okay.
did this for federal contractors. This is how we're going to make it apply to federal contractors. Okay. So now
Okay.
that is now gone. You are no longer, as a federal contract, required to make an action to make your workforce more diverse. So
That's
that's
gone.
gone. Okay.
That is gone.
That's
So
gone.
what does
You're
that
no longer
mean for
required.
businesses?
Huh?
So what does that mean for businesses then? How's that going to affect the businesses?
It really shouldn't affect the businesses, because
Okay.
if your goal is to increase diversity within your workforce because you believe that it makes you more profitable and more productive, then you were
Right.
going to do this regardless of the executive order. And you're going to keep
Okay.
doing it regardless of the executive order. You're going to
Right.
find more diversified ways to pull in the most qualified candidates. You will
For
scour
your
the surface
business. Yeah.
looking for the most qualified people, right?
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So that should not change anything. Okay.
Okay.
The next one we're going to talk about is prohibition of DEI programs among federal contractors. Now, this is where things start to get a little different. Before, we talked about the executive order, it said you had to do an action. So affirmative action got people in the building. DEI got people involved in the business of the building. Like, I can invite you to my birthday party, but if no one talks to you and no one plays with you, or you're not, you know what I'm saying? It's not the same thing. Yeah, I'm here now. What? So what DEI sought to do, diversity, equity, inclusion, what that sought to do was really make it a welcoming environment. You're here, let's welcome your ideas, your thoughts, your experience. Let's put all our minds together. Let's come up with something great. Excuse me. And that's what DEI was supposed to do. Okay. So now, if you are a federal contractor, big or small, meaning you're a college, you're another government agent, you're an individual business owner like myself who contracts with the government, I must now not do any diversity, sorry, illegal diversity, equity, and inclusion actions.
Okay.
Illegal. It specifically says illegal. Let's talk about what that means.
Yeah.
Black History Month, Women's History Month, Native American History Month are not illegal. To celebrate those things are not, never have been, are not illegal. So you can continue to do that. Okay. What you cannot continue to do, however, is anything that shows a exclusivity. Okay. So a woman's leadership training program, you can't do that anymore.
You can't do that anymore. Okay.
Now, you could do it because it was part of Executive Order 11246 before, because it's an action to diversify your workforce.
Right.
But that one kind of contradicted with Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, that says
Okay.
that everyone is entitled to the same enjoyment of all the workplace hoo-ha, right? That goes
Yeah.
along with everything. Everyone's entitled to that. So the moment you place the word woman, Black, veteran, Hispanic, whatever on the front of it, it makes other people feel excluded. That exclusion is illegal under Title VII.
Okay.
Okay. So Title VII is the only law we have to hang our hats on right now. So we have, that's our litmus test. Does it or does it not violate Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964?
Gotcha.
Okay. So, you know, a lot of companies have what they call employee resource groups. Employee resource groups. That would be your woman group, your Hispanic this, your, you know, veteran, whatever. So now you're going to have to change that up. It's going to have to be what they call an affinity group. Anybody who's interested in leadership training has the opportunity to apply and be afforded this particular training.
Okay.
Anybody who has a
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
A need to want to learn how to be a better administrative professional, they're open to this group. But the minute you put woman on it, men are not going to want to join. The minute you put men on it, women are not going to want to join. You can say, oh, yeah, sure, you can come. They're not going to want to, right?
Right.
So that's what we have to change. Still have employee resource groups, still do the same training you were doing, still do the same celebrations you were doing. Keep doing that. Just don't put exclusions on it. Okay. And that's what the difference is where it comes to that. Now, also, as a federal contractor, so I do contracts with the government. And sometimes those, not the federal government, but the local and state government. And sometimes they receive money from the federal government. Okay. If they receive money for the federal government, they have to abide by these guidelines, which means that I, as an individual business owner, has to sign a document that says I'm not doing any diversity, equity, inclusion, illegal diversity, equity, inclusion actions. I don't have any
Okay.
policies around it or anything. It specifically states, don't think you're slick. Don't just try to change the name and keep doing what you're doing because you're going to get caught. It specifically says that. Okay. So
Wow.
I have to sign a waiver saying, I promise that I will not and am not doing these things. So that's a decision I have to make on whether I still want to do business with the government, if that's the case.
Interesting.
Okay, so that's a
Gotcha.
decision I have to make. Is having a diverse workforce more important to me, or is working with the federal government more important to me? I have to make
Right.
that decision as an individual business. Those same guidelines are attributed to colleges and universities, for instance, because they receive federal funds. They're considered a contractor. Grantees, they receive federal funds. They're considered contractors. So it works for the nonprofit sector. It's huge, huge, huge decisions to be made. I have a former client who has a ginormous fine arts center and community center where they teach art classes. And it was in the 1800s, the late 1800s, that it was founded. And it was founded by immigrants who thought it would be a great opportunity to bring people together, different immigrant communities together, even if they couldn't speak a common language, but that art would be that common language.
Okay.
Okay. So I said immigrants. So you know what's going on with the immigrant situation in our country and how people are getting deported left and right. They receive federal funding for some of their contracts. They have to decide how they move forward. Like there's some tough decisions that need to be made.
Yeah, that is a tough decision.
So there's things like that where it's affected. Now, if you don't receive any federal funds, you don't have to worry about this part of it because it doesn't apply to you.
Right.
Okay. Now, then there's the review and rescissions of previous DEI policies. So any DEI policy that was previously laid out by any other administration in the federal government now goes away. Okay. And there is instruction that none of the federal departments can participate in any illegal DEI activities. Okay. So let's understand this. Like, what's the big deal? Like, where's this coming from? So it started back with affirmative action. Where people may have made the mistake of using quotas when they weren't instructed to do so. Okay. So that caused a ruckus in the courts and Supreme Court, and there's been some major decisions that have come out, like reverse racism. There's no such thing as reverse racism. Racism is racism, right? But there's been some people who have sued, like colleges and universities. I can't think of the name of the case, but most recently it was some Asian students at one of the Ivy League schools said they didn't get in because of affirmative action. Okay.
Okay.
And they won their case. So that kind of sets a precedence for some of this stuff. Okay. But then they attribute affirmative action to being the same thing as DEI, and it's not. So the key difference is there was no mandate to do DEI. We're never mandated to do that. That was just
Got it.
something that came along the way that we think that, and studies show diverse organizations and workforce are more productive, right? Why wouldn't I want the best minds to work for me, no matter what they look like, what their gender is, how old they are, what part of the tracks they came from? It would not matter because I want to be innovative and I want to be productive and I want to be the best that I can be. And these
Right.
people are going to help me. So people started then misusing DEI in a way to infer that if you were a quote unquote DEI hire, that meant that you were somehow not qualified for the role that you got. And there became
Interesting.
a negative connotation on there. Okay.
Got it.
And so, personally, I believe that you should change the name now because it's so negative that you should change it to something else. Okay.
Right.
But communication is key. It's so key. And the reason I say that, as an owner, an executive, I have a fiduciary responsibility to all of my stakeholders to be the best productive organization I can be. And that goes for every organization out there. Okay. And with that being said, communication is going to be key. So if I all of a sudden was Target, for instance, and announced to the world that I'm rolling back my DEI policies, why would I do that? Well, because I want a big fat, no pun intended, target off my back from the government, saying that I'm doing DEI policies. I want to not be
Right.
part of that. So what message does that send to your internal stakeholders about what you value? And what message does it send to your external stakeholders slash customers about what you value? I don't know, because you didn't really explain it. You just said what you were doing. Now, it could be, and I have no way of knowing if this is true or not, so I'm giving you a scenario, okay? That Target decided that I value diversity. I've never ever set a quota. I don't have these employee resource groups that say women only or LGBT or, minority or whatever. I don't have those, never have, but I value the
Right.
diversity of my internal workforce. And so, regardless of what we call it, I'm going to keep doing what we've been doing because it works for us. Imagine communicating that to your internal workforce versus all they get is a news flash, Target's the latest to roll back DEI policy.
Right.
Makes a difference.
Makes a big difference.
Yes. So what may or may not be happening is people are not communicating what their intention are, or
Right.
what their intentions is. So what happens is people, there's fallout, there's reputational harm, there's boycotts, there's people no longer willing to spend money with you because they don't understand what are you doing and what are your priorities. This
Right.
is specific in organizations who made a big brouhaha about what they were going to do to diversify their workforce. Like Target in particular had a 5 or 10 year commitment to setting aside certain, I guess, dollars that they were going to spend in small minority businesses over the next 5 to 10 years. Well, they fell short of that when they rolled it back. So you had a specific commitment, you made a big deal about what you were going to do, and then you rolled it back. So that shows a reverse in your decision, right?
Or good question. It, yeah, makes you
Right.
wonder.
Right. So there's that kind of thing versus some, like, I don't know that for instance, John Deere ever said that, hey, we're going to spend X amount of dollars with minority communities. So if they decide to
Right.
roll back, how many people did that actually affect? Right. So it just kind of depends on what your brand is internally and externally and how you communicate that to all of your stakeholders.
Right.
So again, if you value diversity, you value what the diversity has done for your organization, continue to value it, continue to give life to it by talking about how much you value it. Don't do anything illegal, like have these employer resource groups, But this all applies to the federal government, by the way. This all applies to the federal government and those receiving federal funds. If you do not receive federal funds and you are not part of the federal government, it does not apply to you.
Got it.
Okay. And so I'm not sure how much federal funds that Target got, but they may be a contractor. They may be supplying the federal government with goods. Don't know that. But I'm just saying that's, I'm just using that because it's a real life living example of what we're talking about here.
Yes,
Okay.
people can relate to that.
Right. And so there's some other provisions that we need to be aware of. There is, in this executive orders, it literally states that every department head in the federal government are to provide to the White House nine, I believe it's nine companies that meet a specific criteria, such as being on the S&P, being a tradable company that they believe are still doing DEI activities. There's
Okay.
also a provision to the EEOC, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the OFCCP, Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs, to eagle eye, laser focus on corporations.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Who are doing illegal DEI activities, because what can happen is that they can, if I feel like you're doing this woman only thing, I can go in and slap a federal complaint on you for discrimination because you're disallowing men to be ex included in whatever it is you have going on. So there's still that level of Title VII that can still be enforced.
Interesting.
So there's that going on. So that's why I say don't throw the baby out the bathwater. Take a breath. It's deep, but it's not that deep. Like,
Got it.
there's still things you can do if this is truly a commitment that you have versus I'm doing it because I felt mandated to do it.
Right.
And the intent is important to me. As an individual consultant, I won't work with people who just want to check boxes. I want to work with people who truly want to do the right thing. What? Because it's the right thing to do. And
Yeah.
so with that being said, I really pay attention to the intent by which we do these types of activities. Because it is important. It makes a difference. It really does. If everyone, so if you have a workforce that's not diverse, what that is there are 27 people who are just like you on a team. How are you really going to be productive? How are you going to be innovative? How are you going to be able to think outside that box? But you bring in people from different backgrounds, different sides of the track. I wasn't kidding about that because if I'm someone, let's say, grew up with a lot of money, and let's say I'm used to just being able to pay for everything whenever I want it versus somebody who may have to scrimp and save to get what I want, those are people you need to hear from because some of those people are going to match your customers, right? But some of them are going to help trim the fat within your organization. Like, wait, do we really need to buy 100 staplers with our name and faces engrained in gold on it? Do we really need that? Or do we just need a stapler? Like that kind of
Right.
thing. You're going to need that balance to figure out who you really are. And so I'm not talking about diversity of color. I'm just talking about diversity in thought process,
Right.
education. You went to Ivy
Individual.
League, I went to liberal arts private school. Like, right? Like different things like that, that's going to make a difference in how we come to our conclusions. I homeschool. I'm a mom of six. I homeschool my
Wow.
two youngest, in addition to my three businesses that I have. And I'm married. So I do a lot and I'm busy. And it's so interesting to me when I get my fifth graders to do homeschool and we're doing math and they have this long, drawn out way of showing their work to get to something. I'm like, all you got to do is add a zero to the end of that and you got the answer. Like, what are we doing?
Right.
And it's funny to me because they're like, no, we have to do it this way. I was like, okay. Point is, we both have the right answer.
Right.
We both have, there's more than one way to achieve the same goal. And sometimes as owners, executives, we have to hands off and let's see what the people do. Let's
I
see what
love
they
that.
do and how what they come up with. You know, and diversity means that inclusion, more important, that inclusion part is not just having different types of folks there, but really including them in the fabric of the organization. People want to feel a part of something bigger than themselves. And if you give them all the tools to do that, they're going to be the best them they can be. Hands down. They just want to do a good thing. So give them the tools and step back and let them work their magic and see what you get. And that's where some of the best innovative ideas have come from, the best cost savings and time savings ideas have come from. It's just really letting people think and talk amongst ourselves and come up with a solution to everyday problems that benefits everybody. But you can't get there if everyone looks and thinks just like you.
Yeah,
You just can't.
totally.
And there's a ton of studies out there to say that. So, you know, whereas when all these executive orders dropped, people were freaking out. But based off of the information I'm getting from multiple sources, Society of Human Resource Management, multiple business law firms who are doing webinars and conferences about what's out there, it's really not about a huge change other than the name. So it looks bigger than it is. Okay. So again, if you have no intention of ever wanting to do this stuff and you were only doing it because there was an executive order and you felt compelled, no longer have to do that. But now you have to answer to your stakeholders.
Gotcha.
Okay. So there's a lot. There's a lot to unpack, but there doesn't have to be major change. Communication is key. Anytime you're communicating, excuse me, communicating a change, you need to have a communication plan. And you communicate this change as many ways possible. Email, a video, in writing, all the different mechanisms you can think of because not everybody absorbs information the same way.
Exactly.
So you want to make it clear. You want to communicate from the top down. And when it gets to your thick middle management section, you want to make sure they have are equipped with the tools and FAQ if you have to about how to communicate this to the people that they supervise.
Right.
You need to give them all those tools. And so that's really what it's about. It's also key, and as we talked about on the last episode, my book is called The Executive Blind Spot: How Misalignment with HR Will Impact Your Bottom Line. It is imperative that you tap into your HR professionals in your organization to give you guidance on this type of information that I'm giving you. If they don't have it or they don't know it, please go get this information from somewhere, whether you come to BNX Business Advisors or whoever you go to a trusted source to get this information so you understand the path forward as it stands today. Because the way things are going at any minute, at any moment, things can totally change. But this is the information we have so far, and that's all we can go off. You're only as good as the information you get, and this is where we're at. So it is scary for some people. I do a lot of DEI work. And I thought for sure, and I told you with government contractors, I thought for sure that that was going to be shut down. I'm seeing just as many opportunities now than I did before with the government, the local and county government. They specifically say we do not, this part of our organization does not receive federal funds. So it is not in danger. So that's encouraging. That's encouraging because they don't have to do it, but that's encouraging. So there's a lot of things that are, shifting. I know a lot of people have lost their jobs or will be losing their jobs at the federal government level. But guess what that means? That means we, as small businesses and other types of organization, middle market businesses, be prepared to accept these experienced people, these loyal, experienced people. Be prepared. Is your recruiting plan up to date? Right? Are you or your policy, are you ready to accept some new work, some new blood in your organization? Because there's going to be seasoned, experienced people out on the job market. Are you ready? This is why you tap into your HR people so you can start making these kind of plans. Like now's a good time to ramp up. You know, so there's a lot of things, although it may seem like a damper on one side, you have to figure out how do these changes affect me and how can I leverage these changes to move in a different direction. We have to be agile. And if COVID-19 didn't teach us that, I don't know what will.
Exactly.
It's
Use
like
it
head
for
on a
an
swivel. You have to
opportunity.
be able to go in any direction the wind blows. How can I make it work for my organization? So now you got fresh blood out
Exactly.
there, right? You get to liven up your DEI policies by coming up with a new name and a new campaign and renewing your commitment to equity and inclusion within your organization. You get to be trained up on some new ways of doing things. You get to collaborate with peers and different organizations going, hey, what'd you do for this? What'd you do for that? It's kind of like cheating on the test, right? What answer did you get for number two, right? You get to do that. You get to build new relationships. So I'd never want to look at the negative. I want to look at what opportunities does this bring to us? And if you had a
Absolutely.
stale DEI policy that you made 10 years ago and haven't touched it since, now's the time for refreshing. It's a new day. So how can we renew our commitment, communicate what that commitment is, and call it something else? Maybe make a contest. Hey, we got to change your name on this. What do you guys think we should call it? There's all kind of fun things that you can do with it, not put a damper spin on it, because the one thing that's promised to us in life is that things will change. And so we have to be ready for it and we have to communicate it. And so so for me, DEI, I knew that was coming for probably about a year, that it was probably going to be changing. And whether it legally changed or not, I knew that I was going to try to come up with something else because I didn't like the spin or the connotation in which it was being used. And so
Right.
for me, we have what's called a respect first workplace. And that is my DEI or executive order training, or an executive order, equal opportunity training. Okay. Because at the end of the day, that's what we're looking for, dignity and respect. And we don't need a law to tell us that that's how we're supposed to treat one another.
100%. I love that.
So that's what we did a year ago, Respect First Workplace. And so it teaches the Title VII that you have to, that legal compliance that we have to know, but it also talks about communication and conflict resolution and anti-bullying in the workplace, things that are up and coming that we all need to be aware of. So, I mean, that's something that I did at that time, come up with something different than the DEI name, but it's
Right.
still talking about the same thing, the value of a different thought process, the value of a different person. So that's really, in a nutshell, what the executive orders are trying to teach us.
Wow. Well, I think now is an amazing opportunity to provide our listeners with information about the services that you provide that you can help them with through your website. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
So, at BNX Business Advisors, like I said, we're full-scale business and human resource consultants, but we also integrate the two. So, I might go into a workplace or a company, they want me to do some process issues. We do process improvement, workflow, all that kind of stuff. They might bring me in on a process, but I find out it's not the process, it's the people. So, I can easily switch gears from one thing to the other. And that's happened more times than not, where they thought it was a process problem, it was really the people. And so that's one thing that's unique about us. A lot of human resource professionals and companies cannot speak at business acumen. So if you offer me a seat at the table today at your executive table, I can talk to you on your level. We can talk about that balance sheet. We can talk about the KPIs that indicate, whether we're going in the right directions or not. We can talk about 18, 20, 24, 48 month strategic planning for HR. Like those are things that we can get into. But at BNX Business Advisor, we believe in three levels, hello, three levels of engagement when it comes to human resources. So the first one is administrative. Everybody knows about that. That's your paperwork. That's your onboarding paperwork, your benefits, all that kind of stuff, right? The next level is tactical. Now that's hands-on, right? We have a short project. We have a major problem. We need all hands on the deck, 3 to 6 months out. Like we do that in type of engagement. But then we also do strategic engagement. And that is forecasting long range. What do you want? What do you need? How are we going to get it? How many bodies is it going to take? What's our return on investment? What productivity should we expect? How are we going to cut costs on recruiting? How are we going to not have this turnover? All of those kind of things are what we get into. We do not do payroll administration or benefits administration. And that's because I don't like it.
Gotcha.
It's not enough of a people function for me.
Right.
And so the cool thing about having your own company is you can decide what services you offer, right? But we do everything from we do have specialized training programs, but we also have custom training programs. So if you say, hey, Yara, all those things are great, but I need something on
Oh.
this, we can also do that. We do performance management. We do recruiting. We do build new employee orientation programs. We like to call it the new hire experience because it's not just a 1 week thing. The experience is a long time. So we talk about that. We do anything from just there's so much when rewards and recognition. We do organization development. So we do mergers and acquisitions for HR. So the due diligence that you takes place before you decide, yeah, I'm going through with this deal, we do that. But on the back end, we also do workforce integration. You've got these two new workforces with different cultures and different ways of life. How do we bring them together and make them successful? So we
Right.
do that as well. We do a lot. I don't want to sit here and just list and list, but if you want to find out more about our services, you can go to BNXBA. So that's BNX Business Advisors, BNXBA.com. We have a service page. We have a contact us. We do free consultations. If anyone just wants to talk to me, let's have a strategy session. Let's talk about what your needs are. We can do that. If you want an audit for your executive orders to see if your DEI policies and programs are up to par, remember that you have to adjust all of your policies, all of them in writing and everywhere online that talks about DEI. If you want to be in compliance, you want to take those words out if you're changing it. You want to look at everywhere around that. Check your policies, check your hiring policies to make sure you don't have any quotas in place or any goals or anything that can be construed as that. You want to see how do we rebrand our affinity programs and take it from woman to, minority type. How do we take the name off of that and still be effective? All of those things. Happy to audit that. Happy to go through that process and talk to you about that. Workplace culture is where my heart is near and dear. I don't want anybody to have to go to work in a place that's toxic, where they're in fear for their job every day, where they're being harassed or bullied, where they don't feel like they're being valued. They don't feel like they have adequate training to be successful in the role. I went into one company one time and we did, it was a merger and acquisition situation. And I did focus groups for all the different locations of this particular organization. And I went in and the lady asked to have a one-on-one with me, which I love because that's where you get the good stuff, like what's really going to work. But the minute I closed the door, she started bawling. And I was like, what's going on? She goes, I just don't feel like they want me here. Can you imagine? Like, can you imagine? Not that I
Yeah,
hate the
that's not a
job,
good
I don't like the
feeling.
work, my co I don't feel like the organization wants me. That was heartbreaking. And it may not be at all that case. It may not be, but that's what you're portraying because your communications, your emotional intelligence, your team building is not up to par. And so that's how people walk away feeling. And those people either quiet quit or loud quit. So you want to get a hold of it ahead of time. You don't want to wait till the last minute to deal with something like that. So culture is important because, and we were talking about mergers and acquisitions, 92% of mergers and acquisitions fail. Who fail? Wait, yeah, 92% of mergers and acquisitions that fail to meet the goal or the purpose of the merger and acquisition in the first place are due to workplace culture. They could never make the workforce integrate properly. And therefore, they lost productivity. They lost, employees. They had all this, turnover. They had, toxic workplace, all of these things, and they couldn't make it do what it was meant to do because of that. And oftentimes, people forget to tap on your HR professionals because they have their ear to the ground and they know what's going on. So find out, talk to them, and make them accountable to you. Make them accountable to the executives. Because what happens sometimes is you get somebody who's been in HR for 20 years, for example, and all they've ever been is the administrative level. They've never done the tactical. They've never done the administrative. I mean the strategic. And then so they've done the same 1 year 20 times. That's basically the extent of their experience. And if you keep them in that role and you only box them into that, they won't be able to do anything else. And so then, when you're ready to move on and grow and scale, and they can't help you because all they've ever been doing is the paperwork. So you have those, but that's up to them then to get trained up on their own. Whether they take classes or seminars or conferences or webinars or whatever it is, it's up to them to stay trained up so they're ready for the call when someone says, hey, knock, knock, come sit at my table. And so that's imperative as well. Stay trained up for that. because we never know where the workforce is going to take us, whether it's return to work, feasibility study of making everybody come to work. That's something we've done too. Like, what does that look like? Because it's not just having people in the seats. Now you have to account for the actual real estate and the desk and the equipment and all the stuff that you gave away or sold or whatever happened 5 years ago during the, the pandemic. Right? So now you have to get all that back.
Absolutely.
That's money. So, like, is it really feasible to bring back people back in the office? And how can we track people's productivity who work remotely? I have a client that has employees in 12 different states. That's a lot because each state's employment law is different. And they're also different from the federal law. So imagine putting together policies and handbooks. We do that too for all those different states into one handbook. But with that being
Amazing.
said, is it really makes sense to pull everybody together? But how can you keep them engaged? And then how can you monitor their productivity? There's tools for that. There's real-time tools where you can actually see what folks are doing. And so if you're worried about that, first of all, if I'm worried about, I hired you to do a job. And if I'm worried about you not doing the job, you probably shouldn't work for me, period. Right? But if you do, then I need to trust you to do your job until you show me otherwise. So there's that. So I wouldn't automatically go into employing these tools unless I felt there was a reason for it. And then if I felt there was a reason for it, everybody gets the tools, not just certain folks.
Well, it sounds like you can provide people with a lot of different tools and services, and I could think of a million different places to send you right now.
Well, please do. Please do. We love referrals. And we really just want to do the right thing for the working person. I've been there, you've been there, we've all been there. And I've worked with some of the worst bosses in the world and worst organizations in the world, and I've had some of the best bosses in the world. That 15 years later, we're still besties. Like that's important. And the minute I walked, I can tell you real quick, the minute I walked into there, I walked into a huge organization. And it was the highest paying job I had ever had at the time. And I went into my negotiate and I had a certain dollar amount, right? And so I told them what that was and I waited for my offer letter and it was like $12,000 more than that. I was like, so that's cool. But then the first week or so, the boss was reading, I was assistant director, the boss was the director. She was reading some documents and she wrote up a report and she asked me to read it before she sent it to her boss. I was only there for a week. That kind of stuff, what did that cost her? Nothing. I remember this 22 years later.
You weren't prepared for that.
The value that she valued what I think? Why? Because she hired me to do a job based on my qualifications and criteria, and she valued my opinion. And because of that, I know that she has my back, I have her back, and we're only going up from here. And so I'm simply
Leadership.
just saying that the little things that cost nothing mean so much to people.
They do. Leadership is so important, and making people feel valued. So important.
Yes.
Well,
And
amazing.
the last thing I want to point out is middle management gets a bad rap because they're not prepared to be middle management. They're not trained properly before they take the role. And then after, executives expect them to know everything day one. Their subordinates expect, or excuse me, their people they supervise expect them to know everything day one. And that's just not the case. That everyone who has middle management should engage in a long-term training program. So it's not just, hey, you get a 1 week or 2 week, but ongoing. And it should include managing a team, emotional intelligence, communication, it's conflict resolution, some of those things that it takes to manage the people beyond the books. Okay, so we offer something like that at BNXBA. If you don't get it from us, get it from somewhere because it's that important.
Ah, amazing. Well, thank you so much for all this amazing information today. And I know our listeners are going to love going to your website, checking out all the services that you provide. You're so needed in the workplace. Like I said, I could think of a million different places that I could send you right now that could really use your help. So it was so awesome having you on the show today.
Thank you so much. Again, I'm humbled to be here, to be able to share what I know to help make workplaces better.
Amazing. So that's Yara Banks, everyone. We'll have her website in our show notes. Make sure you check out her book, Executive Blind Spot, which we'll also put in our show notes. And until next time, everyone.